The brokenness you carry due to your own sin can be brought to him who understands the terrible weight and darkness and struggle of that sin because he carried it himself. Do you want intimacy with the Father? Then come to him broken. Now that's very foreign to our way of thinking, isn't it? We think intimacy happens when we bring the best of ourselves. You know, if you're going to go out on a date with somebody for the first time, you don't try to look broken. As a matter of fact, if you have anything on you that is broken, you try to camouflage it. Isn't that right? God says that intimacy with him is backwards from that. That intimacy with him comes when we bring our brokenness unhidden. He says, bring me the worst of who you are. And I, who am high and holy, dwell in the high and holy place with the together high and holy people. I dwell in the high and holy place with those who are crushed and broken. And you know what will happen? You, with all your broken fragments and sin, will be welcomed by your broken Savior. He will heal and forgive. And he will slowly, yes, over time, yes, but faithfully work his work in you. He will take that which is trashed in your life and retrieve it. He will take what is ugly and somehow make it beautiful. He will take what is lost and restore it. He will take what is broken and repair it in some way. Your work is not to fix it. Your work is to be broken before him. No hiding, no blaming, no organizing, no straightening it up first. Just broken before him. And the places that you give him that are broken and fractured and damaged, he will fill with himself. And then something else will happen. Our Redeemer came to earth and wore skin and was broken for us. Now he's gone to heaven and he's left us here to be his broken body on earth. You and I are now that broken body for each other. In John 13, we're told the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And it's a wonderful story, and there's lots and lots of things we could say about that story. But I would like you just to hear what he says, what Jesus says at the end of that particular story in Scripture. He's washed their feet, and he sat back down. And he asked his disciples this, "Do you understand? Do you really get what I've done for you? Do you really know me? Has your brokenness driven you to me? Do you call me teacher and Lord?" You're right, that's who I am. "Now that I, your teacher and Lord, have done this, you go do the same thing." And think about that today in terms of brokenness and hear him. Do you understand what I, your broken Savior, have done for you in all your brokenness? Do you really get it? Do you really see your own brokenness? Or are you still trying to hide it? Do you really see my response to that brokenness? You call me teacher and Lord. That's what you call me here, right? That's who I am. You're right about that. Now that I, your teacher and Lord, have been a broken body for you, you go and be a broken body for one another. What does that mean? I'm going to answer that by taking you back to my two examples of brokenness that I could not fix, one in somebody else and one in me. And I want to share with you what I've been privileged to learn about brokenness. Now, in the first case, if you remember, I was in the position of having to respond to what truly was irreparable brokenness in another human being. And again, there were several options open to me. I could have done what I know how to do and let it go in that and say, well, I tried everything I know, it was hopeless. I could have quit. I could have pretended that I could fix it. I could have tried, and then when it didn't work, blamed her. I could have confused myself with the Messiah and taken responsibility for what I could not fix and been swallowed up by it, never allowed to stop because the job would never be done. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are married to people who are broken and you can't fix it. Some of you have children who are broken and you can't fix it. You certainly have friends and neighbors and fellow church members who are broken, and you can't fix it. Now, none of those options work very well. I can tell you for sure because I've tried most of them. They do not bring life to the crushed and broken. How was I to bring life to a woman who was irreparably broken? Well, I tried a couple of those options, but eventually, thank God, I landed on my knees before him. And I said, why did you bring me somebody to help that I can't fix? What would you have me do with somebody I can't fix? Not only I can't help her, I don't even know anybody else who can. You know what his answer was to me? Diane, do you understand? Do you really get what I did for you and your brokenness? You couldn't fix that either. It was irreparable. You couldn't fix it, and you didn't know anybody else who could fix it. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, yes, I know what you did in response to my brokenness. You entered into my brokenness. Oh, but if I go into hers, it's going to be difficult. And it's going to be dark. You responded with love and faithfulness to my brokenness. But if I do that for her, it might take a really long time. You always lived in obedience to the Father, no matter my brokenness. But such steadfastness in the storms of relationships is hard. Everything you did revealed the character of the Father to me. Oh. I do not have the character of the Father. Teach me. Teach me who I need to be in the face of this irreparable brokenness. Teach me to look like Jesus. Do you see that the brokenness of this woman was a great gift to me? Her brokenness led me to ask for more of Jesus. He used her to work out his character in me. Life was born out of death. Now, in the second case, I was in the position of having to respond to somebody, and I was governed by my own brokenness. I did not love this woman. I did not want this woman in my office. I could not make myself want this woman or love her. I tried. It didn't work. And I wasn't even particularly good at pretending that I did. And there were several options again. I could have tried my skills and let it go at that. I could have quit. And if I'm honest with you, I would tell you that I wanted to. I could have pretended at least for a while. I could have tried. And then when it didn't work, blame her. And that was appealing. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are married to people you don't love. Some of you don't love one of your children, or a neighbor, or a fellow church member. You can't, maybe. You're afraid to. You're unsure how to. The bottom line is you don't. And if you're honest, you'll know that you are facing something broken and sinful in you. Now, again, none of those options work very well. I did try pretending for a while, but it didn't last very long because I really didn't want her there. And again, I landed on my knees before God. And I asked him, why did he bring me somebody I didn't like? First he brought me somebody I couldn't fix, then he brought me somebody I didn't like. Why did he send this person to somebody who would like her? I'm sure there was somebody. Actually, I wasn't sure. What does he want me to do with somebody I can't find it in my heart to love? You know what his answer was? Diane, do you really get it? Do you understand what I did for you in your brokenness? Do you understand what I'm doing this very minute in your brokenness when your heart's divided and full of sin and unlove? Well, you loved me in my brokenness and in my unloveliness. You're doing that right now. You have used this woman to expose me to myself. I, who much prefer to see myself as a loving person, found myself rejecting, abandoning, critical. You have steadfastly loved me even when I was abhorrent to you. Teach me to love like you love, without rejection, without prejudice, without preference. Give me more of Jesus. And this woman, who was a very broken woman also, was used by God to reveal me to myself. And seeing my own brokenness in relationship to her led me to greater intimacy with my broken Redeemer. Again, life born out of death. Do you see? Do you see that your brokenness and my brokenness or anybody else's brokenness can make us want to hide, make us want to pretend, and has the power to govern our lives in destructive ways? But do you also see that that brokenness, our own or another's, can be a wonderful gift if we will let it take us to the Father? Because there in the broken body of our Redeemer, we will find that our very brokenness brings us life. And that life will transform us so that we in turn bring light and life to others in their broken places. The very parts of ourselves that we most hate and are ashamed of and want to hide become the very thing our Redeemer uses to bring us to greater intimacy with himself. Consider in closing with me the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:7, where he says this: "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from whom? From God, and not from us." In other words, you and I have this incredible wealth that's housed in very frail stuff. In our brokenness, in our frailty, we carry an inestimable treasure. Another translation for jars of clay there is just terracotta tile. You ever seen one of those tiles dropped or bumped? They're very easily shattered and chipped and fragmented. What is the treasure we carry? The Redeemer, the broken Redeemer. There is no greater treasure. Paul refers to that treasure in the previous verse when he talks about God giving us, and this is one of my favorite phrases in all of Scripture, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, how can such a treasure as that fit in a clay jar? I don't know. Why would such a treasure want to fit in a clay jar? To show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So consider your own brokenness here today. Your brokenness affords you greater opportunity to know your Redeemer. Jesus said he didn't come for those who were healthy. He came for those who were sick and broken. The less broken we are, the less fit we are to be filled with the treasure of God. Have you walked in great darkness in your life, or are you doing so today? Then do you see that that is an opportunity for you to understand that he is the light of the world? You're not fooled by all those silly things other people use for light. You know they don't work. You want him. Has your life been full of storms? Do you see then that that makes you ready to know the God of the tempests? The one who works his wonders in the deep? You're not trying to maneuver your little boat anymore. You know you can't do it. You are ready for the master of the seas. Have you known little of human love in your life? Then let that hunger drive you into the arms of the great lover of souls, who loves far beyond what any human being can ever do. Have you suffered great grief in your life? Then how dear the comfort of the man of sorrows will be to you. Do you see that the worst of you is where you have the most room for him? Do you see that it is your brokenness that makes you fit to behold the majesty of God, who will come in to heal, to deliver, to comfort? If you were not broken, you would not need him. In revealing your brokenness to you, all God is doing is calling you to himself. He's not doing it to make you feel bad. He wants you to want more of him. So do not hide today. Do not run. Do not pretend. Let where you suffer and sin and are broken drive you to our great Redeemer, so that your jar of clay can manifest his glory. The purpose of our carrying that treasure in such frail jars is so there is no mistake about where the power or life comes from. Now you think about your work with other broken people for a minute, here at St. Matthew's, here in your neighborhoods. Do you see that it is only your brokenness before him that makes you fit to tend his sheep? Would you have them mistake you for the healer, the redeemer? I don't think so. Do you really think that you can care for others and walk among such things as death and cancer and abuse and violence and humiliation and torment, your own or another's, in wise and helpful ways? What makes us think we can do that? To do such a thing in a way that does not destroy ourselves or others is a supernatural work. It has only been done by one. He who became flesh and dwelt among us. And he will live and move among you here in the same way, with each other, as you present your brokenness to him. Seek him today as the only one who can tend your brokenness, the only one who can make you so that you will be, as Paul says, the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. There is no greater gift that you can give to another broken person than a taste through your life of their broken Savior. Have you ever picked up a coat or sweater that belonged to somebody that you loved? And you found that the clothing piece was permeated with their perfume or cologne. And you pick it up and it smells like them and it smells wonderful. And when that happens, there's just an instant in time, because of that aroma, where it feels like they're right there in the room with you, doesn't it? You're reminded of them as the aroma lingers. And it is my prayer that that is what it will be like with us, you see, that as we continue to present our very broken jars of clay to our wonderful and broken Redeemer, that he will so permeate our lives with his aroma that our presence among others will cause them to feel, even if just for a moment, as if he were here. Let's pray. Holy Father, we come into your high and holy place as broken people today. And our hearts are full of gratitude that you welcome us there with all our messes and all our stupidity and all our brokenness. I pray that you would move among us here today that we may seek you in those broken places, that you would not allow the walls that hide and pretend and make it look good to stay up, but that you would, by your Spirit, break them down. So that in those dark and dead places that all of us carry, the light of the world will come and bring life, and that we will walk away from this day with a greater taste of Jesus. In his name, amen.
This is the end of Side 2 and this cassette. This message has been produced by Westminster Media, all rights reserved.